News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. You can see now, starting to get bright out there. We've got a nice, good bit of sunshine today. So get out and enjoy yourself. Yesterday I got a couple of things texted to me, one in the morning and one later on in the afternoon, about this kind of a bombshell, I would think, if you're following the Senate race, all about Donald Trump's dissatisfaction with one Mo Brooks.
Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about this now. Well, since we quit hearing from Trump so much about his candidate in this Senate race, Mo Brooks, wondering if he was maybe thinking of backing away from that endorsement. I think a lot of that started from the Katie Britt campaign, putting word out that she had met with the former president at Mar-a-Lago.
He was in our studio, and I think that had just happened that Monday or something like that.
That's right. And when we asked the congressman about that, if he was worried about maybe losing the endorsement, he said, well, I had, and this was again a few weeks ago, he said, I had just talked to Trump on Monday, and things are looking good. But a article out from the Washington Examiner yesterday, and this is from David Drucker, senior political correspondent, he said, former President Donald Trump is unhappy with Representative Mo Brooks and is mulling a switch to primary rivals Katie Britt or Mike Durant. I guess Examiner spoke with the former president, on Tuesday night over telephone. Trump was in Mar-a-Lago, and he said, these are Trump's words, according to the Examiner. Mo Brooks is disappointing. I'm determining right now, has Mo Brooks changed? Trump, of course, endorsed Brooks last spring, and that was around the time where it was looking like Brooks would sail through this Senate race basically without a runoff and unchallenged. But since then, Katie Britt joined the race, and then, of course, Mike Durant. And there's been a lot of comings and goings, but we've, for the most part, in all polls, Brooks has led the way until very recently. And a poll that we just saw earlier this week from Forestry Pack, which we'll discuss here in just a minute. But from more of Trump's interview with the Examiner, he said, I'm disappointed. And he was discussing here the Trump rally that was held in our state back in, I guess it was about 7 months ago, according to this article. And that's when Trump said to quit feeling – Brooks urged voters to stop feeling despondent about the 2020 election and look forward to the midterms in 2022 and then the next presidential election in 2024. And they asked Trump how he felt about Brooks possibly changing his position on election fraud from 2020. Trump said, I'm disappointed that he gave an inarticulate answer, and I'll have to find out what he means. If it meant what he sounded like, I would have no problem changing my endorsement, because when you endorse somebody, you endorse someone based on principle. If he changed that principle, I would have no problem doing that. And Brooks spoke, of course, a lot of maybe the link between the congressman and the former president was Brooks speaking at the rally in D.C. back on January 6th of last year, which since Swalwell, the representative out of California, sued Mo Brooks for being a part of that, he has since been dropped from that lawsuit. Remember, Brooks said, today is the day the American Patriots start taking down names and kicking ass. The Trump endorsement came not long after that. Brooks tweeted at the time, or he, I guess, tweeted recently, the 2020 election was fraught with voter fraud and election theft on a massive scale. I support audits of state 2020 election results, and I eagerly await their findings. So this was a tweet from back then. Trump said, I endorsed him because he felt strongly about election fraud, and he still does, but he was inarticulate in the way he said it. So basically, it doesn't sound like Trump's reasoning is because Brooks has fallen off in the polls, but because of what he said in that rally months ago.
I was going to ask, when was that rally? This doesn't all add up to me. Because if Trump had a problem with him in the moment saying it, then he would have had the problem with it immediately.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't quite add up to me on that basis. The reaction being this much later, maybe he is...
It almost seems like he's seeing Brooks is in trouble.
Right.
And he's wanting to pick a winner.
It feels that way. That's logical to me. Trump, if he felt that way when the statement was made, which wasn't much of a, you know, it was a 5 yard iffy call. You know, it's kind of like a tic tac. Like,
well, you think about it. Brooks is there to campaign for 2022, and when the whole rally becomes a grievance over 2020, which, you know, whether they're right or wrong,
right.
Brooks wants people to look forward, which is exactly what he said. He said, listen, we can make this right by voting the right people in 2022. But you also have a lot of Republicans, a lot of people who voted for Trump who say the future elections don't matter if we don't fix
what happened then,
what happened in 2020.
But I'm just saying, the timing wise, if Trump should have been mad from that moment on.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Brooks's numbers are tanking in some sort of poll that we don't even know we can believe it or not.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting he's talking to the Washington Examiner 7 months out from the mm-hmm. statement. Can I go to the text line real
please
quick?
Please do, please.
So we got, I think it's David saying, these politicians putting all their eggs in the Trump basket, starting to hatch some turkeys.
Mm.
So again, you want to be careful that Trump is your, you know, the guy behind you, because he can change his mind. I like Brit. This is doesn't have Meta. I like Brit, but we need some experience in the Senate. It's a snake pit up there, and we need someone who knows how to be gritty.
Mm-hmm.
We would probably have the tandem of least experienced U.S. senators in D.C.
I believe that's on the way. Yeah, regardless.
Tommy Tuberville, right, who would be 2 years in to his term, just 2 years. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, how long was Shelby in there? The contradiction and the contrast. And then Britt would be an absolute rookie up there.
Yeah, to go where we were, you know, 5 years ago with Sessions and Shelby, who had maybe the most seniority of any state, to go to what we have coming up. It's going to be tough to bring in a lot of the money that we're seeing Shelby send this way here recently.
Can Britt play the role of somebody? Now, she's been up there with Shelby,
mm-hmm.
so she's a familiar face to a lot of the bargainers, right?
Right.
So maybe that grants her a little more than your average rookie in the Senate.
Yeah, but if we're talking experience, you would have to give that to Brooks just because of his time in Congress already. And
but would he being be, up there and would he be effective?
Too sandpapery? Mm-hmm. Would he be too gritty to use what Doesn't Have Meta was saying there? Too gritty to get along with anyone is the question.
Right.
You mentioned that poll, and maybe that is why this is coming out now from Trump. Greg agrees with you. He said Dan's on it with why Trump is coming out and saying that now. So Trump, when asked, he said it's a very tight race between the three of them right now, and I'm not particularly happy. Those were his words. And you look at this poll, which is from the Forest Pack poll. And now Stan McDonald, who is on the Brooks campaign, he told Jeff Poor the other day, listen, Forest Pack has been wrong and wildly wrong previously. I think it was the Tuberville race. They put a poll out that apparently was not very close to what the actual results ended up being.
Got it.
And that's the Forest Pack is associated with the Alabama Forestry Association, who did endorse Katie Britt back in, I want to say, January. So that poll, which polled people March 10th through 13th, 500 likely Republican primary voters, put Durant on top at 33.8%, Britt just behind him at 32%, and then Brooks way behind at 17.6% with 16.6% undecided. So that's the poll that appears to show Brooks in the most trouble. Whether it's accurate or not, that's a different question.
Mm-hmm.
But also, what else has Trump seen? Has he seen more polls that have not yet been released, or maybe some of the folks he's talking to, or maybe Katie Britt coming to visit him?
Maybe she
made
swayed him
that
a little bit.
Much of a an effect on him. I don't know, but I'd like to know from you listening. You can call us or text us 251-343-0106. I don't think, you know, a lot of people nationally look at the Republican Party and look at Alabama like our voters are a bunch of rubes who will just say, oh, Trump said to do this, so I'm going to do that. Well, there's been times recently where Trump has endorsed a candidate and Alabama Republicans don't vote for him. They'll mm-hmm. say, that's fine, you know, we like Trump, but we're going to vote for who we think will do best for Alabama. I think Alabama, maybe more than most states, votes with their heart and not with whoever endorsed who. Do you feel that way?
Let me ask you this. If Trump does endorse Katie Britt, that could sway some voters.
I think no doubt it'll sway some, but will it be enough to overcome the lead that Brooks had going in, where we knew for a long time that he was going to run for Senate, and so he had that lead for a very long time,
a big lead,
and now with less than 3 months until these primaries, it seems like we've got a 3-horse race for sure.
So, two things, Dalton. One, it could be very inaccurate, right?
It could be, yeah.
Number two, regardless of whether it's inaccurate or not, it ain't good.
Not for Brooks.
For Mo Brooks.
No.
I mean, it could be very inaccurate. It is not good for Mo Brooks suddenly to be third in this three-person race.
It sure isn't. When we get back, we'll take this. We got John and Mobile on the line. We'll talk to you, John, if you can hang on for us. Also, plenty of texts to get to. Do you think that Trump backing off his endorsement for Mo Brooks is enough to sway this race? If you were planning on voting for Brooks, will you still if Trump pulls his endorsement? Let's talk about it.
FM Talk 106.5.
822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Coming to the phone and text line here in just a minute. 251-343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, local law firm. Personal injuries can happen, virtually anywhere due to defective products, dangerous surroundings, truck or car accidents, alcohol and drug-related injuries, maritime injuries. We have so many workers on the water around here, plus workplace accidents or any other kind of negligence. And if you have that misfortune of being involved in a serious accident, a couple tips here for you. Document as much as possible while you're there on the scene, as long as it's safe, of course. And also contact a Mobile personal injury lawyer and contact them immediately. That's very important. Tobias and Comer Law will work with you to gather key evidence and also provide their valuable expertise in order to recover compensation for injuries sustained due to wrongful acts of another person or company. It's Tobias and Comer Law, and you can call them for a free consultation at 251-432-5001, Tobias and Comer Law.
823, let's go to the phone lines right now with John. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah, doing great,
doing
thank
good.
You.
So what do you have to say about this news, John?
Go ahead.
The news that Trump may not be endorsing Mo Brooks, may pull that endorsement. You got any comment on that?
Well, I don't know what to believe, you know, because it just, like Dan said a while ago, it doesn't really make sense. But in the primary, I'm either going to vote for Mo Brooks or Mike Durant. I don't trust Katie Britt because I read some things where she's got some people working for her that used to work for Bob Corker, who is a rhino or was a rhino. And one of the things, you know, hate him or not, Donald Trump showed us was how to fight. And the other big question I would like to ask is, if elected, would you vote for Mitch McConnell for majority leader?
Mm.
And if they say yes, then I'm not voting for him.
Go ahead.
It's time for Mitch to move on.
And, you know, a lot of people feel that way. What's your specific grief with McConnell? You know, for as much as he seems to have turned against Trump here recently, he played a major role in getting plenty of GOP judges installed. And he raises a heck of a lot of money for the party.
I understand that. But he's one of these that wants to get along, to go along, get along. And you know, it's kind of like I've heard, you know, if you had a house and somebody was trying to burn your house down, would you try to get along with them, or would you try to fight to defeat them and get them arrested? And Chuck Schumer and these Democrats, these are not the Democrats when I grew up. I know I'm 61, but these are not the Democrats of old, Walter Mondale and Sam,
I get it.
People like that. These are radicals.
I'm around the same age, and here's the simple question: Trump endorses Katie Britt. How do you vote?
Probably vote for Durant.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of people, I know Jeff says it often, and Jeff certainly has his ear to the ground better than I for Alabama politics, but he's always asking, you know, where are the Durant supporters? And while it's true that maybe a majority of them are from Huntsville, that part of the state, we're seeing a lot of people on the text line that like Durant, and sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, he served in the military, and he has such a heroic story regarding what happened with the Black Hawk Down operation that many people are
drawn to that.
Drawn to that, exactly. Mm-hmm. They want someone strong in the Senate. And that's not to say that either of the other two candidates wouldn't be, but maybe Durant just has that stronger, outer shell that when you look at. And we'll get into some of this money if we can here quickly. I want to get to some texts. Martin says, I'm a Trump supporter, but what he says is not always gospel. He was very wrong about Big Luther Strange, remember?
Yeah.
That's one of them that he was way off on. This texter says, I was planning on voting for Brooks until Katie came along. She seems a lot more competent. Tony says, while I think Trump did a lot of good for this country, who he picks for anything has zero impact on my decisions. In his own way, he was an embarrassment, too. That's from Tony there. And Greg says, I don't care if you were military. I don't care if you were a babysitter. These people are weighing themselves on stuff they did for a dollar when they were young. So, and a lot of people are turned off by the promotion of military service when you're running for a race. I guess it used to be a lot. While there were more veterans that were running for office, it was a lot more, I guess, verboten to bring that up. That's a big part of your campaign.
Well, but his story is special, right?
It is, yeah.
Also, again, with Katie Britt, I'm just wondering this. I was talking out, you know, thinking out loud here, that, again, she would be a freshman senator, yes, but does she have a lot of connections with the Senate and with the movers and shakers through her association, very close association, at one time chief of staff of Shelby. And I would say she is more robust than your regular rookie senator.
That's a great point, because this has been in the plans, right?
Yeah.
And who knows what Shelby has kind of set up for Britt if she does win this race. Mm-hmm. What kind of committees may she get on that most true freshman senators wouldn't?
And she's likable.
And she's like,
and so she to me, and that's just my opinion, but her commercial or ads leave something to be desired, I think. But when you meet her face to face, she's very likable.
I think most Alabama Republicans' biggest fear with this race is that they elect a Liz Cheney. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of Liz Cheney supporters out there, but the rhinos that are in, and look at what Romney has been doing here recently. If the people of Alabama somehow vote a Mitt Romney in,
that ain't happening.
And there's no telling, you know, these candidates will put on a certain face.
Well, that's a good point.
You could pretty well presume that Mo Brooks wouldn't be like that. But what do we know about Mike Durant? Or really even Katie Britt, other than what they've been saying as they've been trying to get elected.
Katie Britt, at least you have the track record of Richard Shelby. I think she would pretty much align with that. If you don't like somebody bringing or attempting to bring back a bunch of pork to your state, you want somebody that is hardline like Mo Brooks, doesn't move off his points, Mo Brooks is there for you. Katie, you're going to get a different result. I think that's a given. 830 FM Talk 106.5, Rob Holbert from Lanyap is on the way. It is 835 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, and the text line here before we get to Rob Holbert from Lanyap.
Yeah, appreciate all these texts you're sending
in. Yeah.
This texter says, Katie Britt still has not explained why she supported Terry Sewell, who, of course, supported Trump's impeachment. B.A. says, Katie Britt brings youth to the table. She's not the old white guy that's going to retire after a term or two, and then we got to start this process all over again. That's a great point, and not sure why you had to bring race into the situation, but the older the candidate is that you elect, I mean, you're not going to get 35 years out of endorsing an 80-year-old, sending an 80-year-old to Senate.
Right.
But with Katie Britt, that's more of a possibility that she kind of has that term that we've seen with Shelby and Sessions. Adrian says, that's Donald Trump's style. If he feels you wronged him, he cuts you, whether it's based on facts or not.
Does he cut you 7 months later?
That's right. It was awfully delayed.
Yeah.
And then we'll read this one here, and then we'll get to Rob. Sam says, this text is more about Trump as a candidate and maybe a little bit about his flipping on Brooks. I think that most level-headed Trump supporters are not crazy about how ridiculous and petty he can be. And the more we see other candidates align themselves with the ideas that Trump had that were all spot on, the more conservative voters want a powerful candidate that won't act like a baby and completely ridiculous at times when we need him to be poised and make the most intelligent decision to accomplish the narrative. He said, I'm a Trump guy. guy, but I've gotten angry at him for being so ridiculous, when if he could have just been more intelligent about his behavior, he could have been the best president of all time. And he wraps it with, because of this, I don't necessarily believe what he says about his reasoning for not backing Brooks. So
that's a lot of interesting points in there. A Trump supporter who admits he's really disappointed with Trump at times. I've said this, you know, my contention from this whole election in 2020 was this. If Trump had calmed himself down that last month of October, if he had not, like he did in one of the
debates,
mm-hmm. right, where he seemed like a gentleman and he almost looked to pity on Biden,
right,
but then he would go on his tours, and it was like a comedy tour of Joe Biden jokes, and it would just, you know,
he would roast him,
yeah. And it wasn't necessary. That's give me your opinion on that take. I'd love to see it on the text line.
Yeah,
251-343-0106.
Really appreciate you guys chiming in on that. But now let's talk. Time to talk with Rob Holbert with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And Rob, thanks so much for coming on with us again this morning.
Yeah, glad to be here. I think your last texter there had it exactly right.
Yeah, I appreciate his sentiment. Rob,
I think that's the deal.
When does the Pritchard Water Board and Sewer System open up their own little secondhand Gucci store, like a Goodwill store?
Pretty soon, I think. You know, they had their first meeting the other night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Since all this came down, and didn't mention a word about it.
It's insane. And, you know, I watched some of the video of that meeting, and I think you had Dale Lee. She was positioned right there by the door.
Yep. Oh,
and
that's where I'd be.
I think maybe give him a helmet the next time he has to go out there. Because it got a little contentious in there.
Yeah, they were tossing people out of the meetings. It was crazy. At one point, I guess one of the board members had a rather long-winded soliloquy, and at the end of it, he said, "I'm done talking now." And somebody yelled, "Good!" from the audience, and he had her thrown out of the building.
Wow!
A little thin skin, to say the least.
Petty.
I mean, they were tossing people out. They tossed a couple people out. They argued with each other, called each other liars. It was apparently, I guess there's a sort of a rift of between. I guess there's five members on the board, and three of them are kind of on one side, two are on the other. And it's just it was a lot of fighting, but no mention of what we're going to do about, having had state, local, and federal agents in the building grabbing things. It's just a continued mess.
Amateur hour.
They met for hours, Rob. And,
it was like a three-hour meeting.
To pull a couple things from Dale's story, which I encourage, if you haven't, to go over to lanyapmobile.com and read this whole saga just from this one meeting alone. But like you said, they didn't even mention the ongoing fraud investigation. The big part of the discussion was paying back the city of Pritchard over $500,000 in business license fees that were owed. But just this couple graphs right here. The board chairman, Russell Heidelberg, and member John Johnson, let's see here. In other business, the board elected newest member Ernestine Moore as vice chairman to replace the late Ron Davis, of course, the former mayor of Pritchard. That's despite attempts by two members to replace other officers. Johnson initially nominated Moore for secretary treasurer, which would have replaced the current treasurer. However, that failed because three of them voted against that. Then Johnson was nominated as chairman. That failed. Three voted against it. And then another was, I mean, this is insane. This would be such a great TV show.
I haven't seen anything like that since a few years ago when the Mobile City Council was trying to elect the president, and everybody kept, somebody would be nominated and everybody would vote against that person. Just ended up with no president, had to have LaVon Manzi be the vice president for a year or more. It's just obvious there's some real bad blood. There's a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, and a lot of distrust, I think.
You know, when I lived in Columbus, Georgia years ago, believe it or not, can't miss TV was cable access, the Phoenix City Council meetings.
Oh, yeah.
they would get, on more than one occasion, they got physical.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was insanity. And we'd be, not that Columbus was Rome or Paris, but we felt like we had an advantage, maybe culturally, against the people across the river.
Yeah.
No need to rush over there to get barbecue anytime soon.
That's hilarious.
it's earlier in my career, I covered city council meetings in my hometown of Goshen, Mississippi was often pretty raucous. There were occasions where people were thrown out or threatened to be thrown out, and just a lot of that kind of stuff. It's just ridiculous when you get into these things. To segue into another thing to talk about here is with the Civic Center, a new discussion about that. One of the first things some of the people on city council want to do is reform the Civic Center board. And it's like, not another board. these boards are, a lot of them are just terrible, and they get in a situation where they're unelected and you can't get rid of them once they're put in. And it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of sick of them.
So, yeah, and that was Councilman Reynolds that was bringing up the board as they were talking about this upcoming contract vote. So this vote that's coming up at the next meeting, $200,000 contract with Populous Architects to determine how much renovating the Civic Center may cost and also other ways to bring money into the city. Councilman Carroll, who is a construction,
he's a contractor.
He's a contractor. Thank you. That he knows a lot about this stuff.
Yeah.
He referenced back when Sam Jones was mayor and said a similar study was done then, but then nothing done with the Civic Center. That was just before I started paying close attention to local politics. Is that exactly how that went down?
It was something along those lines. I didn't go back and look at exactly what happened, but there was a look at it back then. The Civic Center, the concept of, renovating the Civic Center is one that definitely is out there, and it may be the cheapest of the routes. I don't know. That's what they're trying to figure out. What's it going to cost to do this? Obviously, gussying up the Civic Center is going to cost a lot of money. They did that up in Jefferson County, and I think they spent $125 million.
Mm-hmm.
But the cost of building a new one may be even more than that. The big thing with, as we've discussed all along, the reason that the Civic Center doesn't have a bunch of concerts has nothing to do with the ghosts of the 80s and all the stuff that happened down there. It doesn't have anything to do with that at all. It has to do with the fact the Civic Center physically cannot hold the weight of the AV, the audiovisual stuff and the sound systems that modern musical acts use. So it can't hold that. And so that's the big thing they have to do, is figure out how can we get the structure to be able to hold that so that we can have bigger acts come in. But Ashley writes a really great column this week about how many events were in the Civic Center last year, and it's hundreds, so that the concept that it's just sitting there doing nothing is also incorrect. And there is stuff going on there. And, everybody I've spoken to that has books music, people who book music for the Sanger all the time say absolutely they could book there if they get some things changed, if they get that problem taken care of.
Because it's always referenced when we talk about acts coming or not coming to Mobile. You talk about the Wharf and Biloxi and Pensacola.
Yeah.
So maybe that wouldn't be the issue, but we have such a tough time getting people to turn out to really any event because there's so much to do around here. I just wonder if, and that's the big question, if we do go back to the old days where we had big shows in the Civic Center, will people show up?
I think they will.
I think they will. If they're showing up down at the Wharf, showing up at, they're showing up in Biloxi, they're showing up here. I don't think that there's more to do here than there is to do there. We have a bigger population base here than they do in Biloxi. I think people will show up. I think if you have good shows out there, people will go.
This is a little aside, but did you notice that in the story about the Orange Beach trying to split off and have their own
school?
Yeah.
The way they're going to do it, they need a school board, but the school board, you're like this, Rob, they can't be city council people, but they'll be appointed by the city council.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty typical.
Yes, and I was just going to ask you, is that typically the way it is done in particular a school board?
I mean, not school board. We elect our school board members, of course, here.
Right.
School board, not so much. They're definitely going to be a lot tighter with the city in that regard if they do that. I doubt there'll be as much independence, but again, like with most of these boards, they put people in, they have a term, and barring any sort of legal action, you can't get them out of there.
When so you when you when you're when you're
they
electing,
don't really have to answer to anybody in particular.
Exactly. When you're electing your city council in Orange Beach, essentially you're now also electing your school board. Is that fair to say?
Yes, you are. And that's, you know, they've had issues with those that type of setup before
I would think, in other
places, but it's, you know, there's not a lot of independence in that regard. I don't know. There was the mayor, Tony Kennan, gave a speech recently basically saying something to the effect of, if you don't like our values in Orange Beach, don't come to Orange Beach and don't move to Orange Beach. And so I kind of wonder if some of this is, a part of that as well, this sort of attitude of, look, we're going to go our own way, and if you don't like it, tough luck.
I think that's exactly what it is.
There's so much good stuff in this latest issue of Lagniappe. More investigative journalism with this Ethan Leslie story that's absolutely captivating. Also,
it is pretty amazing that Scott Johnson did a really good job of that story.
Yeah, that's good. And then also Dale. I don't know how Scott and Dale and Gabriel find the time, but Dale, in addition to writing about the Pritchard Water Board meeting, writing about the Heart of Mary, and unable to bring that school back, even with the hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations.
That's another really great story, and it really is something to read. I mean, you know, they've raised $450,000 to keep the school, you know, going, and they needed 350, so they raised 450, and now the goalposts have been moved again. Mm. And basically, we're still closing it.
Yeah, wow,
it's a sad thing, I think.
It sure is, and you can read more about that at lagniappemobile.com. Rob, if folks want to sign up and get that great Sunday brunch along with the news that might not even make it into the published papers, how can they do that?
Well, you can go to lagniappemobile.com and click on sign in there. It will it'll prompt you and take you there. It's $1.50 a week. That's it. You know, it's well worth it. We're producing stuff every day that is not in the paper. You're missing out on some really good stories if you're not a subscriber.
Where else are you going to get it? Rob, thanks a bunch, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day. Great weekend.
Glad you're doing well.
Thanks.
Also, a reminder, nomination period open for nappies now. You can go ahead and nominate who you'd like to see in the nappy voting. So that'll go on here for a couple more weeks, we'd appreciate your votes.
Damn it, Tom. 849 FM Talk 106.5. A little update this morning from Ukraine. I've got that on the way. And we'll close out the show as well and get you ready for Jeff Port. 855. There are reports that the Russian movement in Ukraine is kind of stalling on all fronts. I saw that this morning, but also the governor of the of a northern region, Chernihiv, said that Thursday the northern Ukrainian city has suffered colossal losses and destruction as a result of Russian military's bombardment. He was speaking to Ukrainian television, and he said 53 bodies of those killed by the Russian aggressors from the ground and from the air have been delivered to morgues in the town the past 24 hours. This is also the city where 10 people were standing in line for bread and reportedly were just shot down. And one other thing, Dalton, real quick, was Ukrainian lawmaker said Thursday there are reports of injuries following the Russian attack on that theater in Mariupol, but no deaths.
Wow.
Yeah. She said an opposition lawmaker who is part of a delegation visiting the British Parliament said local officials report that 80 to 90% of structures in Mariupol have been damaged in the relentless Russian attack. Wow. No dead in that attack where the women and children were.
These Russians have taken some severe losses. And while there's no exact number right now, the Ukrainians say they've killed 14,000, I think. Mm-hmm. The Russians, the last time they talked was March 2nd. They said they had lost around 450 or 460. So the number probably somewhere in between the two. The U.S., of course, they're having their own count using satellite and news from the ground. But the estimates I've seen puts Russia with more losses than America had over the 20 years in the Middle East, over these last 20 years. And also, I won't say there was a number in regards to the U.S. and Vietnam and how many we lost then compared to how many Russia's lost now.
We lost a lot. You know, maybe the neighborhood of 60,000.
But as far as the first, 3 weeks, which is where we stand right now, I think Russia's lost more in the first 3 weeks than we did then.
Yeah.
We'll keep you updated on that and a whole lot more coming up tomorrow morning on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I wasn't going to, Dan, but I went ahead and filled out a bracket for this year's tournament.
Okay.
Even no matter how hard you try, and I've always put way too much time into picking my bracket, because in the end, you're just going to lose pretty much every a lot of the games you put on there. So I had a new strategy this year.
Okay.
Only one bracket. And I went through each of the first 32 games, first round, and looked at the money line, so the percentage odds they give each team. And then I did a random number generator and used that to pick these teams. And I ended up with – I have one seed losing in the first round. That would be Baylor losing to Norfolk State. That's listen, I had to abide by the number drawn. I also have 15 seed – let's see here – Delaware beating 2-seed Villanova and 15-seed Cal State Fullerton beating Duke. So if those three things happen in the first round, I don't see how I'm not winning this thing.
Delaware, by the way, University of Delaware and Villanova are probably, I don't know, 40 miles apart.
Really?
Yeah. Delaware probably knows a whole lot about Villanova because they'd be the team getting all the coverage in that part of the state.
So surprise, surprise, my final four?
Yeah.
Tennessee?
Yeah. Okay.
San Diego State.
Oh, yeah. They're generally in the Final Four.
Texas Tech and UCLA. And okay. I have Tennessee beating UCLA in the final. Do you guys fill out a bracket? I'd love to hear from you on the text line as we head off 251-343-0106. Who do you have winning it this year?
Jeff Poor Show's on the way on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton again tomorrow, bright and early. And you can catch us at his Voodoo Wings tonight with Tiger Talk Overtime.